Job 13. We'll look at verse 15 only. It's amazing how much help this book has been to millions of people. And when Job was going through this, I'm sure he had no idea the effect that it would have, the help that it would have to so many. And so many times we don't know what the Lord's doing in our lives when we go through suffering or trials. But the same God who took care of Job is the one that's available to us this morning. Notice what it says. This is what Job says after he's lost pretty much everything that means anything to him. And he knows that it wasn't an accident, wasn't fate, wasn't bad luck. The Lord allowed it. And he says this, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain mine own ways before him. I think that's worthy of reading again. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain mine own ways before him. I think those words, though he, could be also said like this, even if he does not do what I desire, I'm still going to trust him. Even though he does things I do not understand and don't even like, I still will trust him. If you remember back in chapter 1, the devil came to report in. And God's the one that brought up Job. He's the one that initiated the conflict between him and the devil. And he pretty much allowed the devil access to Job with limitations. He does the same thing with us today. I honestly believe that the devil knew Job enough to where he really didn't really relish the idea of attacking him. He knew he was in for a battle, and I'm glad that he lost. But as I look at this phrase, this statement that Job made, he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. I see in that responsibility, he says, I don't expect somebody else to do it. In fact, no one else can do it. Others may influence me. Others may encourage me to do the right thing and to trust God. But the bottom line is, it is my responsibility. I am the one who's in charge of my life and what I do with it. And so it is with us. We cannot blame anybody else. People influence us. Sometimes discourage us, sometimes encourage us. But the bottom line is, it is our responsibility and it is our decision of what we do with our lives. It speaks of responsibility. Like Joshua of old, Job is saying, as far as me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And he says, I know nobody can do it but me. Has to be my decision. In this statement, I will trust in him. I believe we not only see responsibility, but I believe we see resolve. He said, I will. I'm not going to maybe do it. I'm not going to do it if it's convenient. I'll try to if I can. If I get the chance, well, I'll think about it. I'll get back to you. No, Job's not that way. He says, I will do it. He has it settled. No matter what, whatever comes, whatever goes, whatever conflict, whatever blessing or hurt, I will trust in him, a resolve. He, in essence, is saying, it's important enough to decide, I'm going to. And I tell you, we need this morning, like never before. I say that so much lately. But we like never before need to resolve in our heart, by God's grace, I am going to trust God and obey Him and do right if nobody else does. And there's a whole lot of people who aren't. There's no doubt. I see responsibility. He said, I will. And resolve, I will. But then he says, I will maintain mine own ways. That word ways has the idea of a path or a road. He realizes this is more than one step I'm making. This is more than just one little occasion with one decision. He says, I am making a decision for my life from here on out. By the way, that's what he's been doing from there in the back too, what he's done in the past. So I see not only responsibility and resolve, but I see a requirement. He says, there's some things I have got to do. If I'm going to walk with God and trust Him, there's some requirements involved. There's some things I'm going to have to do. It will not come naturally. It will not just fall in my lap. There's some things I must do. And he says, if he just lets me die slowly, if nothing ever turns out right, if everything in my life falls apart, which it has almost, he says, I'm still going to trust him. I am still going to trust him. He says, even if. Well, that's a big statement. Because there's a whole lot of possibilities in those two words, even if. I want to look at that this morning. Will we trust him? Even if. Even if things don't improve, even if things happen we do not desire, even if the thing that you're battling with now continues to go on, Job had faced things he never dreamed he'd have to face. God had let the devil take over in so many aspects of his life, he was no doubt overwhelmed that God would allow it, but he said, even if he does, and even though he has, I still will trust in him. He has not done wrong. He has not lost control. He has not stopped loving me. He has not stopped being God, and I can and I will trust him. Will we trust him even if he confronts us? Back in Job 23, verse 3, it says, oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. Job gets to the point where he says, I just wish I could meet with God and talk it over. He has gotten to the point where he can't feel or find God. And all that's going on in his world has come unglued. He's lost almost everything he loves. And he tries to get an answer from God. He tries to talk with God, and it seems like God is silent. And he says, if I could just find him, if I could just get with him and ask him why or what am I to do? And then in verse 5 of that same chapter, he says, I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. He says, if he would just talk to me, I would listen and I would absorb what he says and I would believe what he says. And if there's anything he could say that would help me or reassure me or redirect me, I would listen. He sees the importance of hearing what God says. So in chapter 38, God grants his wish by coming and talking with Job. But it's not exactly what Job expected when he got that conversation and audience with God. In verse 4, God said to Job, where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? He's Job. I just want to ask you, Job, you want to know the answers and you want me to explain why. I just want to tell you something, boy. You couldn't understand it if I did tell you why. Where were you when I made all of this? You wouldn't be able to comprehend no matter what I say. I could explain it, but you wouldn't get it. In verse 6 of chapter 38, God says, whereupon are all the foundations thereof fastened? He says, this earth is hanging on nothing. This universe is rotating and revolving at thousands of miles an hour, and there's no strings, there's nothing attached, there's no rubber bands. I am the one in control. Now, Job explained that to me. And Job would have to say, I have no idea. And that's what was God's point. No, you don't have an idea. If I did explain it, you couldn't understand it anyway. So I say, he's confronting Job, and he's telling him the truth of all he can get. And it really doesn't help Job a whole lot with the answer he thinks he needs. Would we trust him even if he confronts us? You see, God spoke the truth to Job, and he always does. And sometimes what he says, sometimes the truth is the last thing we want to hear. That's why the Bible talks about faithful are the wounds of a friend. Someone who will tell you the truth, even though they know it's going to hurt you, that's a true friend. The friend that will smooth it over and try to not hurt your feelings is not a real friend. But someone who will confront you, will tell you the truth, and be honest, that's the kind of person who really loves us. And that's the kind of person God is. It says in Galatians 4:16, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Paul said, have I stopped loving you because I tell you the truth? And the answer is no. I show my love because I tell you the truth, because you need to hear the truth. So I ask us this morning, would we trust God even if he confronts us and tells us the truth that we do not want to hear? That's why God tells a sinner they're a sinner. That's why God warns a lost person they're heading to hell. That's why God confronts a saved person who's not right and not close enough, because he wants them close. He confronts us. He tells us the truth because that's what we need, even though we don't want to hear it and it doesn't make us feel too good. He knows what that's what we need. By the way, that's why preachers preach like they do. Because sometimes you have to just tell the truth. Sometimes you have to take a chance in hurting people or making people mad to tell them the truth. Will we trust him? Job says, even if, I'm still going to trust him. I'm still going to walk in his ways, do his will. Will we trust him even if he confronts us? Will we trust him even if he confuses us? Job 13:3. Job says, surely I will speak to the Almighty, and I desire to reason with God. He's still battling with this thing of why, and most of us do. And he's saying this, I just don't understand. And to be honest, I read the book. And no more than Job knew about it, because we got the book. And I don't understand. Job was a man who was walking with God, a good father, a good husband, loved the Lord, did all he could to be godly before the world and before his family. He eschewed or he shunned evil. He was a godly man. I believe, in my own personal opinion, he was probably the most godly man on earth at that time. And he did not have what we have, a Holy Spirit who lives in him and a Bible he could go and read every day. And yet he says, I just wish I could reason with God because I don't understand. And he has not been the last one. I believe Abraham was somewhat confused about what God said when he said, go and offer your son Isaac, the one that you love. And Mary and Martha, when Jesus waited and let Lazarus die, their brother that they loved and depended on for a living. And that's why when Jesus did come, they said, if you'd just been here, he wouldn't have died. They didn't understand. You know what that means? They were confused. Job was confused. And by the way, so am I. I am confused a lot of times about why God does what he does. I wish I could explain it to you when you're going through what you're going through, but I can't. I do not know why, but I know this, God is still God and God is still good. And he always does right. But my question this morning is, will we trust him even if he confuses us? When he allows things to come that hurt, when it seems like he isn't helping, and things aren't getting better, and the answer hasn't come, and the prayer is still prayed, and the tears are still shed, and the heart is still hurting, but God somehow seems to be in the background, seemingly unmoved, it confuses me. I do not understand, but I know this. Just like Job, we can trust him even if he confuses us. When the last thing you would want to happen happens. When the doctor calls and it is cancer. When the loved ones passed away way too early. When things we do not desire are the things that happen. Anybody can trust God when things are going easy. Where is the faith that that takes? Anybody can smile when the sun is shining, but when the storms are coming and your day is black and your heart is hurting, it's a little more difficult to trust God then. Will we trust him even when he confuses us? Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Will you trust him even though you don't understand? Will you say, oh, maybe with a hurting heart, maybe even with a somewhat reluctant heart, a hesitant heart, but will you say, Lord, I'm just going to trust you? What else? What option do I have other than that? Trust myself? I've tried that. Trust friends? I'm sorry. Trust family? Trust me. Where else are we going to go other than him? Nowhere. And no doubt about it, like we've already heard this morning, we don't have to go anywhere else because we can trust him. Will we trust him even if he confronts us and even if he confuses us? What about this? Will we trust him even if he corrects us? Job 42 verse 6, Job says this, wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Now, Job struggled with all this, and sure we would have to. I tell you one thing, I'd have done a whole lot worse than him. I'll just tell you that right now. Most of us would. God's grace took care of him, but he still struggled. And there was times he kind of wavered. He never got out. He never quit. He never cursed God. But there was times he wavered. And I understand that. But Job finally saw himself like Isaiah. Oh, I saw him high and lifted up. And when I saw him, I saw myself. And he cries, woe is me. And Job said, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. And even though all this had happened to Job, did not get expedited because of sin. It was not God dealing with Job because he was out of his will, because he wasn't. It still revealed to Job his insufficiency, his lack, his unholiness, his heart that was hesitant, his heart that was resistant. And he says, I abhor myself, I hate myself, and I repent. So God, even though he was not in sin, had corrected Job. Will you trust him even if he corrects you? Tells you you're wrong. By the way, he won't tell us we're wrong unless we're wrong. If you have a guilty conscience or if you feel guilty or dirty, look at your life, ask the Lord, is there something you're not pleased with? And if he doesn't show you, you can probably rest assured that guilt is false guilt from the devil or from your own flesh. Now, I'm talking about an honest asking and an honest openness and an honest willingness to listen, because I guarantee you one thing, if we ain't right, he wants us right more than we want to get right. And if we ask him, is there anything in my life you're not pleased with? If we really listen, he is going to tell us. So Job, there was nothing he had done. His attitude wavered, but his life didn't. And that's why Hebrews 12:6 says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. God deals with his children because he loves them. And there's times we just will be honest. What we're facing has nothing to do with God's let the devil loose on us. We just done dumb stuff. We just messed up. We walked our own way. We didn't trust God. We did it our way, and we were suffering the consequences. And there's times when that happens, I guarantee you, God is going to deal with us. And when he does, will we trust him and get right and walk with him afresh and anew? Will we trust him, even if he confronts us and confuses us and corrects us? What about this? Will we trust him even if he cheers us? Sure, I'm glad the book ends well. It doesn't look too good. The scenes are pretty dark. And the episode this time looks pretty bleak, but there's a good end. Job 42, verse 10, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, I like the also here. It's saying it ain't all over. That's not all that needs to be said. There's more to the story. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Hallelujah for that. It amazes me that God gave Job twice as much as he had before, because he had a whole lot to begin with. So the man that's been sad is glad. And maybe the man who's been a little bit mad is now glad. And the man who's been weeping is smiling and laughing and glad. And he gave him double what he had before. Even he had 10 more children. Now, I'm telling you, his wife, I'm telling you, I'll leave that with the Lord as far as that being a blessing. But it was, I'm sure. It was. I'm just joking. It was a blessing. He had 10 in heaven and 10 on earth. But I thought about this. Now, how's Job going to react? Now, be honest, he handled all the turmoil pretty good. He handled all the trouble and the trial and the storm and the pain and the removing of so much that blessed him. He handled it pretty good. But now he's getting blessed. There's a whole lot of people who can't handle blessings. Can't handle it when things start smoothing out. That may be why our road stays rough so much. Because if God ever does level it out, we about forget God. So how is Job going to handle this? Well, the last few verses of this book tells us. And it says that Job, in essence, rejoiced and named his daughters. He named the children. The only ones that are mentioned, the unusual thing about it is the fact that the boys that were born, their names aren't mentioned. But the girls, there were 7 sons and 3 daughters. In chapter 42, beginning in verse 13, it says, and he also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And he called the name of the first, these are the daughters, Jemima. And the name of the second, Keziah. And the name of the third, Karen Hapuk. Now, that mean much to us right off, except for when we find out what these girls' names mean. Jemima means day by day. And it really has the idea of a bright day. So Job, after God has taken everything and made a blessing in how he has restored Job twofold, Job appreciates it and does what he said he was going to do. He says, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Surely if he blesses me, I'm still going to trust in him. And I will maintain mine own ways. That's what Job does. The blessings, I'm underlining a pause here, didn't ruin Job. He took them well. He wasn't like the nine lepers when Jesus said, "Where are the nine?" He wasn't like the thousands that Jesus had healed and they walked off and never even said thank you, never even looked back. Job appreciated God's blessings. And he handled them well, and he still trusting God. The word Jemima means day by day. The Lord says to Job, once you get something, your life is day by day. Day by day. You live today. You get up and you live today, and you get up and you live today. We get to looking far down the road. Boy, I tell you what, you get older, you'll be thinking about this. Get to looking further down the road. I'm telling you what, you'll go wacko. And there'll be no trust. A little zap your faith. That's what we're talking about, trusting him. He said you live one day at a time. Johnny Cash didn't have that. God had that. That first name, Jemima. The second name is Keziah. It has to do with a fragrant spice. Smells good. Job is saying, God has been so good to me. Oh, he's so refreshing. Oh, I just want to enjoy him in his presence. By naming these daughters, why in the world would God put the names of the daughters here if there wasn't a reason? I tell you why, he's showing Job's heart. And then the last daughter is Kerhapuk, and that means a horn, and some say a horn of plenty. Just an abundance comes out. God is so good to me. God keeps giving to me. God keeps being good to me. I realize how good God is to an unworthy person. You know what all that means? He says, even if good things happen, or even if bad things happen, God's still good. I want to ask you something. Will you trust him? Even if, let me get it a little bit more personal, even what you're going through now, will you trust him? It's your only hope, mine too. I'll tell you one thing, I'm not looking for pity, but I'm explaining. I'm not complaining, I'm explaining. Being a preacher and a pastor these days is a tough thing to do. But I can still trust him, and that's my only hope. Or I'll go loony. Maybe I have already. What does this message mean to you? Why are you here? Why did I preach this? I got something that's got two more messages that I could preach. Why this one? Why now? Because the Lord's trying to say, I am trustworthy. I am dependable. I have not lost touch with what you're going through. I have not lost control of this world. Listen, I let it happen. And I let it happen, or I'm letting it happen for a reason. And you don't even have to know the reason. I may share it with you, may not, says God. But if I never tell you, you can still trust me. And if I do tell you, you can still trust me. Will you trust Him even if? If you're lost this morning, this message is meant to you because God wants you to get saved. And this altar call I'm about to give is for you. It is for you. You will answer. You will respond to this message, what God has said in your heart in the next couple of minutes. We who are saved, I don't know anybody that's not going through something. And a lot of people I know are going through some bad, severe, terrible times. And we got to trust God. Even if we're facing what we're facing. So I want to ask you to listen. And the Lord says, come and pray. I'm begging you to do it. The captivity of Job turned when he prayed for his friends. Flip the switch. One thing. And this morning I want to ask you to consider saying, Lord, sure isn't what I want, but I trust you. I got to trust you. Help me trust you. Help me to maintain my ways and walk with you. Let's stand together. But you get